Well, good morning, church family. It's hard to believe that we are past mid-August, and we can already feel the coolness in the air in the morning and shorter nights as fall slowly comes close. But we're not going to think about that today because we want to enjoy these last few weeks of summer. But anyways, it's good to be together, and I certainly pray that all is well in your home. And this morning as we begin, I want to begin with just an announcement. And it's about our upcoming indoor service. A newsletter has recently been emailed out, so make sure you read this newsletter as it has important information regarding our reopening of our indoor services on Sunday, September 6th, Lord willing. Now, just a few things for you to be aware of. I won't read the whole newsletter, but just some important points. The service will begin at 9:45 a.m. as usual on September 6th. We encourage you to arrive between 9:30 and 9:44. It will be necessary, of course, to keep social distancing even when entering the building. Therefore, we will have sidewalk markings leading up to our entrance point. Our 30% capacity, and again, this is how we are able to open, is the government has allowed churches to have services with 30% capacity of their seating. That's how many people, and we figured that out. It's around 120. So that's how we're having this. And if you plan to come, and I have talked to many of you, if you are ready and able to come, please pre-register, and you must do that so that we do not exceed the 120 people that will be allowed, that we are looking at for targeting for having our indoor service. And you can do the registration, the pre-registration, two ways. You can do it on our church webpage at camelfordbaptist.org or by phoning the Dunks, Bruce and Thea Dunk, at 705-653-1930. So please register either on our webpage or by phone by Friday, September 4th. And it's basically saying, I plan to attend, or my family plans to attend on September 6th, and this is how many people. So anyway, so that's some exciting news. It'll be great to be together because we haven't had an indoor service since, can you believe it, March 15th. It's been a while. And so we will have, of course, two more outdoor services in August in our parking lot on Sundays, but then September 6th will be inside. I'm going to take this moment also to pray. Let's before we look into God's word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this new day. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we just pray that now that as we look to your word, God, that you would open our hearts and teach us again through your word how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and how to be a light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to be talking about the word community, life in community. Throughout history, life has revolved around the community. Families, both immediate and extended, resided with one another or in close proximity to each other for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is just how we have been together. We have been a society in community. Even in this area, there are farms where generation after generation have lived on the same piece of land. And so this morning, I want you to be thinking about the importance of community as we see it all around us every day. Now, the opposite of community is like individualism and disconnectedness, doing life on our own without anyone else. And this is not part of God's design for you or me. After all, God is a community in himself. Have you ever thought about that? Existing for all of eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They have enjoyed this love and fellowship in this perfect triune community. In creating mankind, God desired for us to participate in that community and know the perfect and joyous love that God had shared. Church family is a community of faith, a flock of sheep following her shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we are always connecting with community. Even during this pandemic, we have found ways to still have community. And we must keep doing that in a safe way. Now, the Bible is our teacher when it comes to learning about living a community, how to be community, how to do community. We look to the Bible because the Bible is the source for the church when it comes to authoritative truth. God's word is above every other word on earth, and his word will continue forever and ever, whereas the words of man, they fail and they fall and they vanish. God's law is the law of the land. And a true believer in Jesus Christ will obey God's word no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice. We are to obey God's word even when governments of today or leaders and officials tell us not to. We always need to be standing on the word of God and standing up for God's truth. When the religious leaders and political leaders of Peter's day told him that he had to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus, how did Peter respond? Well, let me read to you in Acts 5 what he said. And so the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, and this is key, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So how did Peter reply? How did he reply? He rejected those words. And he said, "We will not remain silent. We will continue to teach and preach about the word of God." And this is when government officials were telling him not to. Are you willing to stand up for the truth? Are you willing to stand on the word of God, even if it means rejection from your family and your friends? When all of society is moving away, and it truly is, moving away from God's word, will you get out of the way? Or will you just go with the flow and with culture and with society? You know, truly today our culture, the culture of our day, is shaped and influenced by our secular, evil, and sinful world. And it is a world ruled by Satan. And his agenda is to build up a society and culture that is anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-church. In no way is the church to be shaped or led astray by worldly culture. In fact, it is to be the other way around. God wants to use his church to be a light, a beacon in this dark world, to shape culture and to shape it and pattern it after biblical values. From a worldly culture to a Jesus culture. Doesn't that excite you? Do you not want to be part of a Jesus culture and for God to use you to be advancing the gospel and his kingdom? A society, again, built on biblical values, patterned after the teachings of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer for Campbellford. And this is my prayer for our church community. And this is what I am committed to as a Christian living here and as a pastor living in Campbellford. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would use our church to build a culture shaped and patterned after Jesus Christ, his teachings, and the Word of God. Now, again, whatever the topic, social issue, or situation, we must always be led by what God says, not by man. We are lost without him. Our greatest need every day is for God. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds, and there is none who does good." And this is what Psalm 14 says about the foolish man. So we do not and we cannot be led by them, those that do not want to have any part of God or his word. We are to be led by God every day. Jesus' words in John 8 are clear. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's John 8. So being a Christian is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say his disciples are to do? A disciple of Jesus holds on to Christ and his teaching. They hold on to what the Bible says as true and trustworthy. Now, as I said earlier, today we're looking at the word community, being in community, being led by God's word in community. And I want to read you a number of verses in the Bible that speak about life in community, how we do life together in the family of God. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 2 to begin with. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, as it relates to community. And listen for the community that you hear happening in these in this passage. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And listen also to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. There are so many verses in the Bible that reveal to us the importance of being together, coming together. Actually, the entire book of Acts is filled with moments where that happened. And all through the Gospels as well, where Jesus went and who he was with. But listen to these other verses as well, as they reveal to us what is to happen within community, how we are to be together. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. 1 John 4, 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And Galatians 6, verses 1 to 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And there are many more verses like this, but this is where we learn from the Bible on what the Bible teaches about the importance of doing life in community, and how God's word is to lead us and guide us in showing love and being hospitable and looking out for one another, but meeting together. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 2 that I read earlier that the first century church relied on community in small groups each week. It says again, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together from house to house. The goal, again, of small groups has primarily stayed the same since the early church times. Basically, to disciple fellow believers to be more like Christ through biblical community and the study of God's word. I've often wondered if coming out of this pandemic, it will bring the church back to its roots, where we can gather together in smaller groups throughout the week and grow in our faith together. Doing community, being in fellowship, gathering together, God's word is clear. We are not called to do life alone. And we can easily get into that habit. But I hope today that that will not be a habit that you're getting into, but the opposite, that you are looking forward and looking for opportunities to gather with other believers for the building up of your faith. We were created to be in communion, first and foremost towards God, our heavenly creator, and then towards others. In community, we learn, we grow, we change. In community, we find strength as we travel through a world that is not our home as believers in Jesus Christ. Again, two overarching truths should always guide our theology, our understanding of and towards life in community. First of all, again, God creates and lives in community himself, the Trinity. But then second of all, Jesus, though perfect in every way, he chose to live in small group life by surrounding himself with 12 men while he was on earth. So if it was important for Jesus to remain connected with others and to spend a lot of time with this small group of disciples, then don't you think it should be important for every believer on earth today as well to be in community, to be gathering throughout the week in small groups? Church is more, again, it's more than a building. It's more than bylaws. Church is a meeting together, literally. An assembly, a gathering, a congregation. The word church comes from the word ecclesia, which means the called out ones. Church is a gathering of the called out ones, followers of Jesus Christ, people who are disciples of Christ who are also making disciples. God promises to help us through this life. And what does he give us to help us? He gives us church. He gives us each other, fellow Christians, for encouraging one another. You know, even during this pandemic, we can meet together in a safe way to encourage each other, to build each other up, to listen to each other, to pray. And there is nothing the matter with inviting a few people over for an hour for prayer and Bible study in your backyard. We are gathering also, we're gathering in a parking lot, in our cars, for prayer and for worship and for hearing God's word. This is church. This is assembling, congregating together, being church. You can sit in chairs even outside in the parking lot and talk to one another safely. We can encourage each other with God's word and listen to how God is at work in our lives. And we will continue to meet weekly. In fact, more than weekly. Now, church is where people from all walks of life with their individual struggles come together. Together, we are strengthened to live as God's forgiven people, to be his disciples, and to hold on to his teaching. And I've shared this many times before in my time here, and many of you know that for me personally, I have experienced the most spiritual growth and formation in my own life in smaller groups together. And so they're important. I know for many of you, that is where you have grown the most in your faith as well. And so I'm thankful that here at Campbellford Baptist Church, ever since I've been here, there's always been opportunities to gather in smaller groups to pray, prayer studies or Bible studies, prayer meetings, coming together just to listen and to grow in our faith. So let's keep doing that together. Simply put, Jesus tells us to come together, to be there for one another, to be there to receive encouragement, but also to be there for one another, to give encouragement to our fellow Christians as we walk together in faith. When we are doing life in community with other believers, our lives are better, are better off. Our faith is deepened. Just think about the benefits, the blessings of being together in community, gathering each week to grow in our faith. Our character is sharpened, and when we are able to come together, we are actually given the opportunity to apply God's word when we are in community. Whether it's in a small group or a larger gathering, they are great ways to get to know God, to get to know each other, and to meet new people as well. Getting into God's word with a few other people is an important faith builder that cannot be neglected. I want us to look at our passage today, and it's a passage in Hebrews. And I'm going to be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In these two short verses, we learn the importance of life in community. And Hebrews 10, verse 24, begins by teaching us to motivate one another to love and to good works. And this is actually a command from God. There are actually two commands tucked away in this verse, the command to consider and the command to spur one another on, to motivate each other. Now, the word consider is a word that means to give careful consideration to some matter, to think about it very carefully, to consider it closely. So when we come across this word in Scripture, we are to pause and to think very carefully about whatever comes next. And then what comes next is the second command, to motivate one another or to spur one another toward love and good deeds. So this is a one another command. In other words, this is not a command that you keep by yourself, but only in community with other believers. The word translated spur or motivate in the NIV is translated in various ways in other translations. It is translated stimulate in the NASB or stir up in the ESV version or provoke in the King James version. And it's a word that usually appears in negative contexts and can be used of someone who is upset or irritated or exasperated. And the main meaning is that to have a strong reaction. The main meaning of behind this word is to have a strong reaction to something. And that's what Hebrews 10:24 is getting at. When we motivate or provoke or spur one another on toward love and good deeds, we are trying to provoke a strong reaction in each other. We are trying to motivate one another toward love and good works together for each other to receive, but then also to release around us so that people are blessed. Too often, we can become lazy and complacent in our Christian lives and expect that everyone else will take care of the work of the kingdom. Now, once again, we must remember to do our part as well, following Jesus, following his lead, and helping others around us to know that there is a God who loves them and who sent Jesus to die on the cross for their sins. Now, once again, Sunday morning worship, when we gather, that is essential. It is really the starting ground for being involved in the church and coming together to motivate one another towards love and good deeds. But if that is the sum total of our commitment to Christ, then something is missing. And that something is usually fellowship and service. Again, we are to meet more often than just Sunday morning. What Hebrews 10:24 tells us is that these two elements, fellowship and service, are key to Christian discipleship. They're interconnected. It is when we experience true Christian fellowship within community, doing life together with each other, then we have the opportunity to motivate one another to love and good works. These things don't happen in isolation from other believers, but only when we engage in intentional, purposeful Christian fellowship. Your whole purpose as a believer in Jesus Christ is to glorify God. To glorify God and enjoy him forever by engaging in love and good works. God saved you so that you could be a blessing to others, not simply to receive a blessing for yourself. Now, in the next verse, verse 25, we come across further teaching on what it means to do life in community. And here we learn the importance of meeting together regularly. Let me read to you again, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This verse encourages believers not to abandon or neglect meeting with other believers, but to keep meeting together. One of the most important habits you will develop in your Christian life is the holy habit of meeting together with other Christians for worship and fellowship. This verse warns us about the opposite habit that some believers can fall into, the habit of not meeting together with other Christians. And it is an easy habit to fall into. You miss a Sunday here, you miss a Sunday there, and then all of a sudden different things start popping up that seem to be more important than gathering together with other believers. We can develop the bad habit of not going to church rather than the good habit of going to church regularly. Hebrews 10:25 also, it's not a suggestion. It's actually another command from God. So when people tell me they are Christians, yet they don't go to church or they don't have any desire to meet with other believers, my answer is, I didn't know we had a choice. It's God's command to us to be together. We cannot pick and choose the biblical commands we like and will obey and call ourselves and still call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. We have to obey all of his commands in the Bible. Hebrews 10:25 warns us. It's a warning against developing the habit of not gathering, of not coming together with other believers throughout the week. And did you notice the urgency of verse 25 as well? Let me read it again. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day that the writer of Hebrews is referring to? Well, it's the time of Christ's return. In other words, your time for Christian fellowship, your time for Christian service here on earth comes with an expiration date. Either you will expire or this world will expire. But either way, you only have a little limited time to do God's work here on earth. The way you live here on earth has eternal repercussions. And so it is essential that we consider carefully these commands for life in Christian community that God gives us here in these two verses in the book of Hebrews. So if you are aware of opportunities to gather together with other believers for worship, for prayer, for Bible study, for service, do it. Do not neglect this, for in doing so you are missing out on encouragement, being a blessing to others, and receiving blessings from others. The whole theme of the book of Hebrews is that Christ is superior to everything and to everyone. Why? Because he is God and he is our Savior. And what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be being church, doing church, and encouraging one another more and more to be like Christ, to be more surrendered to Christ, to be more in love with Jesus Christ, to be committed to Jesus Christ. We have to come together as Christians. We are to be with one another. And so as we close, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Please join me, and then I pray that you will have a wonderful week practicing, applying God's Word in your life. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.